Okay, that's not the end of the song, actually, but welcome everyone to the 104th edition of the Patriot Hour. We are live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, May 16th, 2010. This is Sir Malachi, along with my co-host General Rachel, where we try to make sense of all this nonsense. That was some neighbor of Rachel's making all that noise in the background. Oh, yeah, I'd like to say congratulations to Sarah and Rachel's nephew for graduating college over the weekend.
Well, yeah, that's Jihad Joe across the street. Oh, my gosh, was that on cue or what?
Yeah, perfect. That was perfect.
Oh, for those of us over. Hi, everybody. Hi, Mal. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. For those of you that weren't with us last July 4th, I've got this child that lives across the street that just has this wonderful love of M80s and firecrackers. And apparently it's, to him, well, time to be Baghdad. I don't know. He's out there having a good old time. I'm sorry about that. Actually, it was me in the bunker, Mal. It was me. I'm doing it.
Eating too many beans, huh?
I'm starting to listen to him. Can you hear? He's starting a revolution out here.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oh, gosh. So how was everybody's weekend? Yeah, well,
Today was real nice. Real nice. Wow.
Beautiful day here, too. Beautiful. Maybe spring's coming back, at least for a couple days. Oh, so, boy, what a weekend. Busy.
Got a lot on the plate, people, so let's keep her going here. We had four bank closings Friday. Total is now 72. Including the class of the Illinois Midwest Bank and Trust, which received $84.8 million in bailout funds. And they still failed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Midwest will be taken over by First Merit Corporation of Akron, Ohio. But those who hold common shares, including the U.S. government, will likely have their investments wiped out. The Wall Street Journal reported Saturday. Midwest, which warned it was struggling for several months, had 23 branches and $3.17 billion in assets, the Journal said. The FDIC said First Merit had agreed to pay 0.4% premium for Midwest, $2.42 billion in deposits. Banks in Missouri, Georgia, and Michigan also failed this week. In Georgia, Ameris Bank agreed to take over the deposits of Satilla Community Bank of St. Mary's, Georgia, and most of its $135.7 million in assets. In Michigan, the Bank of Ann Arbor will take over the $101.8 million in assets from the failed New Liberty Bank of Plymouth, Michigan. In Missouri, Citizens First National Bank will take over deposits held by Southwest Community Bank of Springfield, Missouri. The FDIC said the four failures would cost $301.7 million, which comes out of its deposit insurance fund, or out of your back wallet, or your back pocket, I should say.
Hmm.
And that's that. So we're at 72. We're just a little bit more than halfway to last year's total.
My God.
Yeah.
They still never. This is what I, and we've done the research. We've gone back. Why are they continually closing these banks? It makes no economic sense when you look into these banks. None. I don't understand it. I understand it on an intellectual level, but how they get away with it, Malachi, how do they get away with it? And nobody mentions it.
No,
nobody.
No one does.
Well, we've got a booming crisis about to occur. And we've said here, and I know a lot now are catching up, which is so nice, the Eurozone is about to collapse. And they're setting the stage for it, and they're preparing you for it. Now, not only that, but probably the one economic advisor of Barack Obama's that I despise the most, Christina Romer. She's chairwoman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. She did a commencement at the College of William and Mary, and she came out with this statement. What we need now is not the withdrawal of federal support, but further targeted action that will help the private sector back more strongly. Now, what is that? What does that translate into?
More takeover, government takeover.
More takeover, more stimulus, and more spending. Because what they see out there is what they see in Greece. What they fear is what they fear from Greece.
And they can't understand that what got them in that mess is all the damn spending in the first place.
Right. And now here's Romer. She comes out and she says, oh, well, there's major growth, right? Major growth. There is no growth. People stop. There is no United States economic growth that's kept in the United States.
No,
all the
inflation.
Companies,
inflation increased by 2%. Job growth was, or GDP was at a 1% growth.
Mm-hmm.
So no, there were no jobs created there. The only jobs that were created were, like I said a couple of weeks ago, was at the Census Bureau. And those
are
just temporary.
What they're going off, though, is the profit. They're going off the numbers that were reported this week. Well, let's remember, this is the dichotomy of the American public. Let us review. If a company does not make a profit, then things are bad. Yet, the media wants you to bash the company that makes the profit. You see how this works? The companies must make a profit. And normally, these profits that the banks and companies are making should actually bolster the market, should bolster everybody up, should increase consumer spending, but it's not having that effect. The rules of the economy are not what they used to be, and they are being rewritten as we speak, like we talked about last time with gold. It's the same thing with profit-taking. Now, here's Romer coming out and saying she worries the policymakers may take the return of growth, baloney, as a license to withdraw the support that has been essential to the recovery. This support from the government did absolutely nothing. Nothing. All it did was shore up a fake, and I say it and I stand by it, faux, quote, crisis, because this, again, 250,000 mortgages did not take the whole globe down. Shore up the banks, give them billions more in profit, to which they paid back TARP, and now who suffers? You do. You do. We do. So what happened in Europe is the governments want to withdraw the spending, you know, all the stimulus that the European governments have put in. Oh, and by the way, China also put in stimulus. Every single government, I believe, did. But they've been withdrawing that stimulus. China, of course, it doesn't matter. We all know the growth of China, Thailand, India, Asia proper, Southeast Asia. We know that. Europe's stagnant, if not falling. In fact, they're falling into a major depression, in my opinion. And the United States is stagnant. Now, Malachi, you've said this. There's no such thing as a jobless recovery. That just simply doesn't happen. The jobs that were here are now gone, and they are going to stay gone. Forget about it. We talked here many times, and I know I brought it up, much to the chagrin of some, that we need to change how we do our economy. But we're still not getting that. We're still not understanding that, that the world is not looking at the United States to make widgets anymore. They're looking at India and Asia to make the widgets. India is the United States 50 years ago. And they know it, too. And they're having that massive business expo over in Shanghai now. I showed you that. Oh, man, that thing is huge. Every country, every company is over there. All the U.S. companies are over there. So the profits they make are coming from over there. So the spending, the companies are holding on to that money. They're not hiring. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting for more regulation. They're waiting to see the other shoe drop. They're hoarding their money. Well, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you with Barack Obama and Geithner? Wouldn't you hold your money? Because remember, at any time, Barack Obama can come in and say your company's not viable. So they're frightened. And any ordering that you see, any increase in manufacturing, is not being consumed here. It's being consumed over there. So in my opinion, now we're not just, there might be a, quote, number increase, but it's to help their economy, not ours. We're not keeping it here. Now let's take a little trip over to Greece. Poor Greece, the whipping boy, right? Poor Greece, here we go. Greece, it's not enough money. We know this. The Germans are revolting. We told you about the election that took place. The Germans are saying to Merkel and her CDU party, no, no more. We will not be the ATM. You will not put us through this. We have our own problems. You saw the election in the UK. No more Brussels. And you also saw the formation, in my opinion, of a European Federal Reserve in the ECB, the European Central Bank, and the IMF. The ECB president, moron, I can't stand him. Every time he speaks, I want to smack him. He came out today and he said that this crisis is worse than World War II. Now, for a European to say such a statement, I would, in American terms, multiply that by 10. What's he saying? He's saying we're about to see the destruction of the European Union. Now, for most people, in my opinion, it's politically a good thing. They're going to get their sovereignty back. But what happens whenever Europe goes into a depression? There's always war. I hate to tell you, but I think it's coming to Europe. Leaders are losing the trust and respect of the people. Not just the same way we are. It's a different trust and respect. In Europe, they almost give up the control. When they elect a parliament or elect a prime minister, or in some cases a president, they give so much deference to them. And they allow them to do basically any agenda they want. They have much more trust in their elite. In other words, something changed. Now they're starting to hate the Greeks. There's no more societal connection between them as there was in almost a fake way with the formation of the European Union. Now Germany's looking over there going, oh, I hate those Greeks. This is a dangerous thing in Europe. Europe's always been a tinderbox. Always been, you want to talk about race problems, country problems, where London can't stand Paris, and Paris can't stand Frankfurt, and Frankfurt can't stand Athens. And I've told you, and I'll say it again, when they start to refer to each other as cities and not countries, that harkens back to medieval times. Something is definitely brewing in Europe. And then the ECB president comes out and says something that has set the European people on fire. He said, we need to take another look at the VAT taxes across the Eurozone. Now, at this point, VAT taxes are not on certain items, certain food items. We went through that on one of the shows, Mail, when we talked about the VAT. He wants to lift that. He wants to take another look at that. He says it's time. That there simply isn't enough money to lift the countries in the Eurozone out of the sovereign debt crisis. Now, let's face it. We've seen the amount of money they were going to give. Close to, what was it, Neil? About $1 trillion, yeah? About $1 trillion. That's nothing to us, right? That's nothing. They are so far in debt that it's putting money down an invisible hole. And according to reports, and basically verified by Sarkozy, when Sarkozy and Merkel had their meeting before the agreement, Sarkozy got so mad at Merkel, Angela Merkel, that he stood up and stormed out of the room. It was, quote, a stand-up argument about the fate of the European Union. The danger of contagion can happen within hours, said the European Central Bank President Trichet. Hours. Not days, not months, but hours. Now, even if we give the Europeans the sense of the dramatic flair, something's wrong. Because it was they and the IMF that set up this deal to begin with. So what is he trying to tell us? Is he trying to tell us that we did this just to calm the markets, just for a little while, knowing all along that they were actually preparing everyone across the globe for the dissolution of the European Union? The only thing that holds the European Union together is currency, euro, the eurozone. It's the only thing.
And that's Russia. Down to $1.23.
It's the Asian markets are open now. I think the Nikkei was down, isn't it, Mel, today so far?
Let me go look.
They are very, very worried in Asia about the sovereign debt. The globe is interconnected. We can no longer think that we're alone here. If Europe dissolves economically, we will be brought down with them. We're trying to prepare you for what's to come, not to be naysayers, but to be realists.
Yeah, they're all down quite a bit.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's what it is. That's what it is. Trichet, the rest of them, Merkel, Sarkozy, they've been preparing all weekend in their statements, press releases, and on-camera interviews, that this isn't the end. And in fact, it might be the beginning of the end. And it's all about currency. And it's all about the cries of the people, which they had ignored for so long. But between the European elections this past couple of weeks, UK and Germany, just like they saw last summer with the MEP elections in Brussels, or for Brussels, there's a change in the air. Now, it's not a rah-rah change like some of us here are so excited. You know, I'm hearing, remember November, stop it. I'm wondering, and I'm not even wondering, I know, that no matter what happens in November, it's not going to stop the runaway bullet train that is the economy headed straight down. You need to prepare yourself, your finances, and your family for that. They can only bully you, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, we gained another penny on the euro. It's down to $1.23, and the pound is at $1.44. I don't remember seeing the pound below $1.50, and I can't even remember how long. It's been under that now for about 2 months.
The Fed opened up after that package passed, when the Fed, which it has done before, but it is unprecedented at the amount, opened up and flooded the European market with dollars in hopes to lift up the euro, to stabilize the euro. But it's not. The sterling was falling. Why? UK had bad numbers worse than expected last week. I told you what's the look on these faces that I see at 5 o'clock in the morning. They know. But instead of telling people, honestly, listen, this is the God's honest truth. We are broke. No more sunshine up your skirt. No more we're going to take care of you. And no apologies. And I'm at the point, Malachi, no more blaming. I'm not blaming Bush or Clinton. Enough. I want somebody, somewhere, in this government and in governments around the world to simply stand up and say, everyone blew it. Now here's what we have to do. No austerity plan that's pie in the sky that Greece will never make. They can't pay back what they can't earn. Earn from what? Think about it. If they're cutting most of their salaries by 20 to 30%, where are they going to get the taxes from? Well, they're going to increase
their salaries. But they decrease their salaries and increase the income tax. They're actually going to get less in tax and money.
Yeah. And they're not going to have enough money to spend. So say they rely on the VAT or value-added tax, for those that aren't sure of what that means. So they rely on the VAT tax mail, but they don't have the money to go buy anything. Now, I saw an interview with young people in Germany who were fed up. They reminded me of this generation of between, I would say, maybe 25 to 30-year-olds. Just getting out in the world, just getting a job, getting their first apartment, looking at that paycheck going, excuse me, this is a little low. But it's not just here. We must keep track of what's going on over there because we're so interconnected. We will be pulled down. And Obama, instead of separating us from what's going on in Europe, has in essence allowed us to be tied with them, more so than any other president ever. He has made their problems our problems. Yes, our banks. It's about 12, 13, highest estimates I heard, 18%. Are invested in the situation in Greece. It's foremost the French banks, then the UK, then us. But we are in trouble. They are in trouble. So goes Europe, so goes us. But it concerns me most, in a good way politically, in my libertarian, freedom, liberty-loving heart, I love every minute of it, watching people want sovereignty back, currency back, their rights back. But what I don't like and what I am most afraid of is the reaction of those around them, their governments, and indeed this country, and how this administration would react if they saw the kind of protests that I foresee all across Europe this summer. When Trichet, the European Central Bank president, IMF, Merkel, Sarkozy, and maybe even, yes, Cameron, have to come out and say, guess what? We're dissolving the European Union. Our people demand it. We are not going down with the ship, the pig ship. We're just not going to do it. They're on their own. There were calls to cut Greece loose. That's the fight, apparently, that Sarkozy and Merkel got into. Now, this isn't a rumor. This is fact. I want you to picture how long it's been since two heads of state from Europe gotten face-to-face in a room and gotten into such an argument, defined as a stand-up argument, that one left the room. That's some serious stuff. That's history book material. In days of long ago, Mel, that would have been war, okay?
Yeah, well, I wonder what they said.
Well, Sarkozy was just flipping mad. Just because Merkel was asking the proper questions, right? She's saying, look, my people don't want this. I don't know if I can sell it. And Sarkozy was saying, you damn well better, Merkel, or this entire European Union's going into the toilet. And my French banks, that's why Sarkozy was so upset. His General Societal. The other one, I don't remember the name of it, Arcole or something like that. Huge amount of money poured into Greece and the pig nations. Those French banks just came out with, I meant to write it down and I apologize that I did not, but it was a huge amount of profit they made last week. And I said to myself, damn you. Not that they made a profit, but here they are with this whole package trying to uplift what we thought was Greece. In essence, turns out to only be the French banks. And a week later, these same French banks who were screaming, help me, come out with millions and billions in profits. So what is happening? Why do we bother anymore? Why don't our government just give the banks the money? Quit trying to sell it as some, you know, tarp to help you. It's not about you. It's just not. And I know it might sound a bit communist, but I'm going to say it anyway. We are being controlled by the elite in a way that is unacceptable. Because the crisis that is to come is not manufactured. The crisis that is to come is real. Prepare yourselves for that. Because China and Asia are doing just fine. You're going to hear, you know, you hear, oh, well, China's got inflation. They've done this, they've done that. Yeah, they're taking an active role in their economy because they can, number one. And number two, they want to remain the powerhouse that they are. And India sits back very quietly, getting a 13.5% bump in their manufacturing last week. Getting businesses not only from the United States, but from China and Europe. And Europe. Now think about it. Europe, instead of concentrating on European nations, screw it. The elite of Europe are bailing on the Eurozone quicker than we're bailing here. But how can you blame them? They're in the business about making money. We have a serious, serious problem. And it's only going to get worse. So keep an eye out on that. Please, please don't dismiss it. And please don't do what I hear so many say. It's Greece's fault. Let them rot. Uh-huh. Well, it is. But if we weren't so linked up to it, and if we in our history have not been pulled into so many European wars, from World War I to World War II, over something called economies, when evil men out of chaos rise, I'd say screw it too. But the evil men that are coming into these countries are the ones that you all and hate so well, with names like Mohammed and Ahmed, or Trotsky and Putin. And it's a geopolitical perfect storm. Look what's going on in Thailand. Right? Yeah, so they're protesting in Thailand. Why worry about it? Well, when the UN decides they're going to step in, you damn well better worry about it. So goes the UN, so goes Barack Obama. This is history, this is the way he wants to rule things, like it or not, and until the nation gets serious about politically removing Barack Obama, this is the way it's going to be. You hear talk of red shirts and yellow shirts. And it's basically how you think about it, too. Red shirts are your communists and your Muslims. Yellow shirts are, well, according to Thailand media, we would consider them, everybody get ready, the teabag party. The government of Thailand, Bangkok, is bombing bullets, smoke bombs, This is nothing new to us that grew up in the 70s and used to see this nonsense every day. But the enemy behind it all, the enemy that will grow out under chaos, that thrives on chaos, just like Mussolini said, pre-World War II and in World War II, we can only govern in a state of constant war and chaos. That's where we derive our power as National Socialists. And he's right. They feed on it. So for good or for ill, I don't care how you feel about these bailouts anymore. Either they need to do it and do it full born, or they need to stop. But this half mealy mouth thing that they're doing, putting Band-Aids on, is simply not working. It's making it worse. It's poisoning the population. And you're getting a hookup mail, which is very concerning. You're, like I told you, in Greece, it isn't just your crazy nutjob young kids, you know, your WTO people that travel from country to country bombing out Starbucks. This is Grandma hooking up with Ahmed. And Grandpa with Putin. The circle is meeting, in other words. Your conservatives and liberals are meeting. While they want different outcomes, they're angry about the same situations. We've been here before. Pre-World War II. Pre-World War I. Pre-Civil War. Pre-Revolutionary War. And we haven't learned anything. We go through a period of sleep all over the world. 9/11 was contained. Afghanistan contained. Iraq contained. Ignore all those bombings that go off in the Philippines, in Thailand, in India, China, Russia. Let them deal with it. That's their problem. How many times have I heard this? They're Muslims. That's their problem. It's our problem. On 9/11, all of those became our problems. But instead of doing it right, we tried to contain it. That stupid policy of global balance that I want gotten rid of and blown apart. While it sounds good and looks good in books, while it looks great as these theories of presidents, never work. Jefferson found that out. He did the same thing with the pirates, the same damn thing for 7 years until he realized the only way I'm going to win this thing is if I let them destroy them. Yes, Thomas Jefferson did that. I know everyone likes to rewrite that story thinking, oh, well, yes, he got the Navy together and he went right over there and killed the pirates. Ignore the first 7 years when he did nothing and let them go half-assed. And told them not to fire upon them unless fired upon. That was Thomas Jefferson. He didn't give them any money. He told them to shoot spitballs for the first 7 years. Or sorry, 5 years. Pardon me, 5 years. We're here again. The most important article over the weekend, and very well done, by the way, which, besides Sarah graduation, which, yes, I cried like a baby, everybody. I admit it. Besides it, this article out of the Washington Post, I'm getting to it right now, so give me a second, informs us that there is a new soldier being formed. There's a new soldier being formed in our army. It's called the modern soldier. He is now, and she is now, a politician, a diplomat, and, quote, a tribal anthropologist. This is the Pentagon. This is how they are now training your children. not to be warriors, but to be tribal anthropologists. I know. I couldn't even write it without getting sick to my stomach. I'm going to put the link from this article in the chat room as soon as I get through my blog here, but if you have a child in the military, I want you to send this link to your congressperson and to your senator. I want a thorough investigation of what's going on in the United States Pentagon now. And I call for it and I stand by it. I want a moratorium of anybody being sent anywhere from this point on. Our military is not there for tribal negotiations. No. And who do I blame for it? I'm going to the top. Of course, Barack Obama. We know that this is what he's wanted all along. I call out General Stanley McChrystal for being an absolute inept moron who has bought in to the UN NATO nonsense. A decade of fighting, this is the article from the Washington Post, published this morning. A decade of fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq has forced battlefield commanders to accept that victory in today's wars is less a matter of destroying the enemy than of knowing how and when to make them allies. This new kind of war has compelled mid-level officers to take on a new role of politician, diplomat, and tribal anthropologist. We're talking mid-level officers. These are the officers that are commanding your children, our young men and women, the ones that take the bullets, in other words. Quote, "My goal here is to get people to stop shooting at my soldiers and support the government," said a weary Lieutenant Colonel Robert B. Brown, a wiry, quick-talking officer whose three combat tours have imbued him with modesty, skepticism, and self-doubt. Think about that. Lieutenant Colonel Robert B. Brown, bless your heart. He's 24-year-old lieutenant. The beginning of the article has him quoted on the radio saying, "We have an enemy inside the wire. It's really bad here. We need those expletive birds now. I need help. Where the hell is my help?" You know, this is the same thing, God forgive me, that we heard during Vietnam. We vowed as conservatives, as Americans, as patriots, that we would never, ever allow this to happen again. And we have. But it isn't because the Congress is not supporting the military. That's not it. They're giving them what they need when they need it, for the most part. And, well, with this administration, we don't see all of the questioning of Barack Obama that should and definitely now needs to be done. The problem is, and I say this with great hesitation, but somebody needs to say it. If you have a son or daughter in the military, please understand that I am not speaking about your child or those men and women who have to follow the orders of the mid-level officers and the Pentagon, and indeed this moron, Imam-in-Chief Barack Obama. I'm not talking about that. We have lost the United States military. And it's more than political correctness. They've been infiltrated. They have swallowed the global UN military playbook. There is a reason war stinks. There is a reason that the military hated war more than anybody on the planet. There is a reason men die, and we look at that, and we watch it, and we say that we will do everything in our power never to let it happen again. But if circumstances arise, that we will fight it with all and everything we have to end it quickly, decisively, and then bring them home. We don't do that anymore. What's happening is the military has bought into the fact that it is our actions that have caused this war, and you watch for this to start happening. It's already happening. They're not being trained to kill the enemy. They've said it right here. It's not about destroying the enemy. Well, then what's war about? When Karzai was with Obama this past week, Karzai talked to Obama about a jirga. And I might say that wrong, Mal. Jirga? Is that? I think that's, yeah. That's a meeting. That's a meeting with those Muslim pieces of scum that belong in the deepest, darkest bowels of hell to talk about, quote, peace.
Yes.
Obama, he didn't dissuade it. He encourages it. They are now being dictated to by these pieces of fecal matter. And they are telling Karzai that they don't want to accept his terms. They are making the terms. And who's following? The crystal? NATO? The crystal, I guess, is forming these civilian, lovely little civilian relationships now, taking civilians with him, listening to them on how he should handle the war. Not so much, I'm not talking about civilian as in Senate, which of course gives the orders to our Pentagon and so forth. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about civilians like some stupid-ass moron from the UN. What the hell are we doing? So I don't care if this sounds liberal. I don't care if it sounds 60 burpish, hippie, Woodstock-ish. These men need to stay home, and they need to come home, and we need to stop sending them anywhere until we clean out and clean up not only the United States Congress, but you remove Obama and you sweep out this Pentagon mentality. I am appalled and disgusted. We are sending them to be killed, in the crystal's words now. If Sharia law needs to be enforced in the local level, so be it. You want your child dying for Sharia law? Then the crystal, he came out last week and he said, oh, guess what? About that Kandahar offensive, can't do it. We can't do it because the Taliban's too strong. And the Taliban is now threatening the villagers of Kandahar, you know, with those crazy things like beheading and murder and torture and kidnapping. The military men I know would have destroyed Kandahar and destroyed the Taliban years ago. We didn't do it. And now with these jirgas that Karzai wants to form with the mullahs of Afghanistan, with Obama's blessing and nod, will be dictating the terms of some sort of, quote, ceasefire. No. No. I know as conservatives, this is the hardest thing to do. It is. It sounds too liberal, doesn't it? It sounds too like something the other side would say. No, because I believe the war is justified. I believe that we should destroy the enemy. And I know that men and women will have to die to do that. But the cause is just. But the cause has changed. The reason that they're there has changed. Whether it be from Obama or the latter part of the Bush administration, or I don't know. All I know is they're making no secret about it anymore. They're coming right out and telling you. I wrote in my blog, I want these questions answered. What are we sending our men and women to die for? Who is leading them? How are they being trained? By who and for what? Now, until I get an answer for that, I want them staying here, and I want them pulling back, and I want them brought home to their families. Now. In this damn Senate, in this Congress, if they are going to do anything, do this. I hope they read this Washington Post article, and I hope they are as outraged as I am. Although they won't be. This isn't a matter of just going against Barack Obama. This is calling out the commander-in-chief. Like it or not, he's president. But whose side does he work for? This isn't a president of the United States military, commander-in-chief of the military. This is president of the UN. He's working for his brothers in the Muslim faith. Don't tell me he's not. He is. And now he's coerced the Pentagon to help him achieve it. It is the greatest outrage I have felt since the night he's been elected. We knew this was coming, Mal. We knew it. The groundwork had been laid all along for this. Before the election, we screamed to our faces were red, our throats were hoarse, that this is the way it was going to be. But, you know, the grand old party, the goops, McCain, no, no, of course not. He would never do that. We can't worry about that. Let's talk about the issues. What greater issue is there than that? As conservatives, we don't want to do this. It is the hardest thing to call out the Pentagon. It is the hardest thing to say to the military, you are wrong. And I'm not talking, I swear one person misquotes me, I am not talking about those fighting the war. I'm talking about those leading the war and making the decisions for those that must obey command. They're being used and abused. And I would go so far as to say they're being sent to their death in order for Obama to get his agenda. And his true reason for keeping those forces in Afghanistan, the Taliban, and allowing them to come back into power a la Hezbollah and Hamas in some sort of political way so they can gain political power. It can't happen, but it is. How's that working out in Hamas, in the West Bank, with Palestine, the Palestinian Authority? Is that Hamas political power working out well over there? We should have never allowed that, Bush. I'm sorry if this upsets some people. I know that it's hard to hear, but how can you not? If you support the military like we all do so much and lift them up, what's the job of the commander-in-chief? Those are his men. He's in dereliction of duty. He's manipulating. manipulating them for his own gain. Not the security of the United States, not to defeat the enemy, which is Islam, by the way, but for his own agenda, for the other side, to understand them, to be a diplomat. No, 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 no. Then why send them at all for basic training, boot camp? Why bother? They don't need it. What do they need it for? The rules of engagement have tied their hands for the past 5 years. NATO, Bush, and throw in all the various rules of engagement from every other country. Germans don't know if they can shoot. The French, God knows what the hell they're doing. The British are having the same discussion that we're having right now. Thank God. And now, the British are accusing, and this is true from The Guardian, the British are accusing McChrystal of revealing plans before an offensive, putting British troops in danger. From The Guardian, published yesterday. I'm sorry, that was published May 5th, and I missed that, and I apologize for that. That was published earlier. I want McChrystal in front of Congress, in front of the Senate. And I personally don't care now if it's a show trial. I don't care. Put him up there. I want him grilled. The same way they did to Petraeus, I want McChrystal up there being grilled. And I want the mothers and fathers of those dying to do the questioning. Why is my son there? You tell me. You tell me now. I demand to know now. We demand to know. It isn't about killing the enemy anymore. So if it isn't about that, then they all need to come home. What do you? How do you feel, Mel, about what's going on now?
It's a bunch of crap.
Bunch of crap.
What's the point of that? What's the point of having a military if they can't do what they're supposed to do?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, all day long I was watching the History Channel. Oh, Lord. The bias will make your head blow off. But anyway, they always do. You know how they do great work about talking about the history of America, and they went to the beginning and worked their way through. And I watched George Washington. And I watched as they showed him withdrawing from New York as the greatest armada ever seen until D-Day. The 400 ships of British were coming up to Manhattan. And he had to retreat. And they have a famous picture of Washington watching Manhattan burn. And it was very similar to the pictures of 9/11, putting it into historical perspective. And they said on there that it was the only time that New York City was ever attacked until 9/11. And all the similarities were the same. His army was going into the toilet until von Steuben came along and whipped him back into shape. And as we said here on our revolutionary shows, we went through Valley Forge, the hell they went through, and the discipline that Washington had to do. He had to hang those that left. He had to punish those that disobeyed him. He had to allow von Steuben to be as harsh with them to keep them alive. If we had to go through that today, dare I say that the generation before me would never make it. And von Steuben said, this is one quote that I've always kept in my mind, this is the only army I've ever had to explain the reason why I'm telling them what to do. Every other army of Europe would simply do as I told them to do, but only here in America did I have to look into the soldiers' eyes and explain to them the reason. Now multiply that times a million in today's culture. Most of these darn soldiers would probably get a lawyer. Well, it's true. Who the hell, and of course I know them, I'm talking about the 5% now. Are they letting in to these, this, I don't know. You know, this isn't a joke. Who the hell are they letting in here? All this whining and complaining. Who the hell are these kids? This is a war. You have to break things and kill people. But what mixed messages are they getting now? Well, no, I don't. I just need to be a tribal anthropologist. I don't know where, I don't know what's happened. It's not the United States military anymore. Do you see what's starting to happen? You saw it in the commercials, I believe now it was from the Navy. We are the global force now. Yeah, it was the Navy. The global force on the seas. Are we seeing a disillusion of the United States military into what we're going to see as an inclusion? Or a glorified NATO of the world? I propose we are. My job, their job is in tribal negotiations. No. You see, September 11th, the United States was attacked. Attacked. Viciously. The country I know would have destroyed them within a couple of months. Blah, 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 yada, yada, 8 years later, ta-da, 9 years later. It's been watered down to nothing more than not even a police action at this point. Now it's follow the little civilian guy from the UN, learn your Arabic, and understand why Mark Muhammad over here is angry with you. And understand that it's your fault. And understand now, by the way, that in Zell Miller's words, we're only going to give you spitballs. Is that what you're sending them to die for? Then they took Karzai last week, as all of you saw, to Arlington. Arlington National Cemetery, the most sacred place in our country. He stood there like a moron. He went there for PR. He went there to show you that he appreciates. Uh-huh. You don't appreciate a damn thing. If you are going to talk to Mahmoud, the enemy, you don't appreciate anything. You know, it would be one thing if the people of that country would stand up, like I've said for years and now decades, and burn their burqas. And we were in a massive war trying to get rid of this enemy. I'd stand by him for however long it took. But frankly, I'm getting damn tired of it. So Woodstocky as it may sound, and this is my opinion, it's time for a moratorium and it's time to bring them home. And not for the same reasons as the left say, but for the reasons that I stated. And we need to stop, and we need to review, and we need to either redefine the mission of the Pentagon and what they're there for. Or we might as well shut the doors. We don't need them anymore. We could just send out units from every city. And don't think that's not coming. Because as you know, 250,000 of them are being trained for this country, in this country, in case of civilian unrest. And that's the sad truth. I'm sorry. I don't know. Do you disagree with me at all now? Or, I mean,
No.
It's very hard to say what I just... It's very hard. I don't want them spit upon again. We lived through that. It took decades. And some, God bless them, will never recover from that when they returned home from Vietnam. And, you know, in some cases, Korea, by the way, the forgotten war. They will never forget that. And what do we do? Within, what, three decades? We turn around, vow never to let it happen again, and we've let it happen again. Because Mrs. Mohammed decides to sue. How many damn lawsuits? Now we have the Iraqi prosecutor wanting to bring charges up on one of our military from Iraq, stating that he raised a militia to kill a police chief. So now there's an arrest warrant for one of our military in Iraq. You know, enough now. When is this enough? But we give them the rights. I don't want to go into those arguments. Those are tired and old, and we've talked about them for weeks. We know how we all feel about that. You know, when we say a little more Patton and a little less the other P word, well, it's even beyond that now. We've gone so far. Now, remember, these young men and women are being trained by McChrystal and his crew. So don't assume that they're going to come out and say they agree with you. Half of them will not. They're going to agree with McChrystal. That we shouldn't be there, that the mission, I know, I've heard it. And I've heard a few parents tell me that their children don't believe that the original mission was correct. I know that that shocks a lot of people, but it's true. It's okay to question the military. It's okay to demand the answers. Civilian control, and we control those that give them the control. So guess what? In essence, we deserve the answers, and that's your children dying. I will support them always, but I do not any longer support the missions that are going on now with these orders in Afghanistan or Iraq. The Pentagon and the civilian command has failed miserably. And they should be ashamed, but they won't be ashamed. It isn't about surrender, and it isn't about retreat. It's about a failure of mission. Ask them. They don't even know what their mission is. I read you that quote. Lieutenant Robert Brown. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Brown. I don't know. My goal here is to stop, to get people, not to kill those that are shooting my soldiers. He says, my goal is to get people to, quote, stop shooting at my soldiers and support their government. That's not your goal, Colonel. That's not your goal. I'm sorry to say so cruelly, but your goal is to kill the enemy. Let the others clean up the mess. But I guess I'm wrong. That's not my military anymore. It's changed. So I guess we're out of the loop now. We are out of the loop. Sad. Very, very sad. I didn't put the link in there, but I will now. It's sad. And I know some people might disagree with me. That's fine. They can disagree. I know that it's very hard to not support the military, everything we have to do. You have to support the military. You have to support the military. Well, of course you do. But at what cost? Their lives? If this is how our military is going to act, then we should start sending them to Thailand. The West Bank. They should do tribal negotiations between Hamas and Israel then. Right? I mean, let's send them over there. How about Darfur? There you go. There's a big tribal anthropological study to be done. Go down there and learn about that. I'm sorry. We've lost them. We've lost them. And it's only getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't see any member of Congress standing up and saying the things that I said or demanding the questions answered that I asked. Not one of them. Could be that it's not a presidential election year. Google. And I tried to get into the chat room, but I can't. I'm frozen. It keeps kicking me out, pulling me in. Is this still going on here? Meow.
No, everybody seems to be doing fine.
Kicked out, pulled in, kicked out, pulled in. Could just be me. I got the Firefox. It probably did a little freeze up.
Hmm.
Oh. Got a little freeze.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's play something here.
Appropriate.
song from Fringe, which has season finale this Thursday. A lot of shows having their season finale this week. House and V.
Yes, what will our Peter do?
Will he destroy our Earth?
Now, Peter, it'll all work out. Our Walter will save the day. He will. I have to believe that. Heathrow Airport has been closed due to ash. Apparently, that nasty little volcano is acting up now.
Yeah, that's closing all the
They're starting to close the airports now. Australia also has closed its Bangkok embassy due to what is becoming quite serious, as we discussed over in Thailand. So keep an eye on that. Two stories out of Israel. Oh, tell them about Chomsky, Mel. I told you before the show.
It's all about Netanyahu won't let him into the West Bank.
Whoopsie.
Noam Chomsky. Chomsky.
Yeah. Now, of course, you go check the Jerusalem newspapers, and the IDF is saying, oh, it must be a misunderstanding. Yeah, right. Keep him out.
He does look like a gnome, though, doesn't he? Perfect name for him.
He does, I know. There was also a story that caught my attention this morning, which is about the Mount of Olives, which is actually an ancient cemetery. Of course, outside, and everyone knows the Mount of Olives. But it's a cemetery outside of Jerusalem. And Jewish law prohibits any burying inside Jerusalem proper. The cemetery is deteriorating. Absolutely deteriorating. This is a graveyard that is 3,000 years old. I felt 3,000 years old. But the history of Judaism, all right, is in these graves. And the whole point of the op-ed is that is this government, the Netanyahu government and the current Knesset, allowing this to happen? They're calling the attention to it. There were a lot of protesters there today as well. Let's get on this, Yahoo. Let's get on this. Let's straighten this out here. There's vandalism going on, destruction of ancient graves and history. The history of Judaism. Come on now. I'm sickened by the whole thing. So the story, there were actually spirited protests. So let's hope that straightens itself out. And Netanyahu hasn't been doing much, although according to a poll in the Jerusalem Post, he's been named the most influential Jew. I said to Malika, yeah, damn right he is. I mean, come on. Sure isn't Noam Chomsky. So let's hope he gets that act together. Well, President Lula from Brazil apparently has struck a deal over in Turkey. In so much as saying to Iran, they worked a deal out with their uranium. Now, just 3 days ago, where AJAG came out saying, we are now at the second, close to the final stage of the 20% enrichment of uranium. This matters not. It doesn't matter. But what's interesting is that the president of Brazil is now getting lifted up. This is the president of Brazil. Remember, your BRIC nations. Brazil, Russia, India, China. He's lifted to that level where he actually has influence with Ahmadinejad? Huh. When did that happen? When I read that, I was like, Putin and Medvedev guy, he's saying, oh, well, it's going to be up to President Lula. I'm going, wait a minute. What is the president of Brazil? How did he get so important? Well, how do you think? Money. There's been deals between Brazil and Venezuela and Iran and Russia and China, and it's been going on right under our noses. We don't got an axis of evil. I'm telling you, they're creating their own globe over there. We're not even paying attention.
Well, just like you mentioned too that they're exterminating the Christians in Iraq. Nobody's saying anything about that.
This was one of those blogs in the Washington Post that actually are quite good. They're guest voices, and sometimes you don't agree with them and whatever, but this was written by Anina Shea. And she says, what is most startling about the report of the heartless double bus bombing, which occurred on May 2nd, that targeted and injured Christian students traveling to northern Iraq's university, was that the Christians there attended university at all. Since the U.S. invasion, Iraqis Christians have been mostly driven out of the country by violence, directed at them for their religion. The communities have become shattered. The Christian communities are shattered within Iraq. That these young people continue to dream even of preparing themselves to serve their country, Iraq, signals that the community's commitment to Iraq and a hope that these Christians still harbor for its future. And the writer, Nina Shea, says, unless the Obama administration, my word, what he called it when he was president, acts fast to develop policies to help them, Christians will be obliterated from Iraq altogether. Now, don't tell me this isn't a religious war ever again. Please. It is. It's a struggle of faith. Even, you know, drop the word religion. I'm coming down to faith now. How can it not be? And it isn't just Iraq. Well, Christians are getting wiped out everywhere, from Africa to Iraq to South America. And in this country, getting wiped out legally. So, I mean, geez, what do we got here? Not Christian warriors, I mean it. I don't care. Stand up. It's turning the other cheek nonsense and letting other people tell you what religion is a bunch of crap. Tell them to shut up. It's okay. Jesus did work at the temple. You tell me he didn't tell some of those Pharisees to shut up. I'm sure he did and more. He wasn't the righteous, pious monk that walked around and never said a bad word. In my words, everybody likes to worry about the right words in the Bible instead of all the other things that Jesus did, okay? But besides the religious and the Christian viewpoint, civilization. That's it. Gonna wipe you the hell out. Look at what the Iranian mullah said now. Over the past day, what he wants Iran to do. Take over the globe. From Iran to Israel. Al-Qaeda in Iraq, going along with this article. There will be bloodshed. What's happening? We lost our grip on this. I don't even know if we had a grip on it, to be quite honest. They simply said, well, we'll just wait it out. This Obama's not going to do anything. They laugh at him. They laugh at your military. They call them weak. They play them. And, of course, now we're giving medals out for not shooting. I think that's what set me off in the beginning of the week, wasn't it, Mel? The medal thing. Oh, God. The medal for courageous restraint. I never thought I'd see the day for not shooting. That's who our military is. We are not barbarians. Okay. And everybody
but
damn well.
That's about as bad as giving medals out to the National Guard when they were on the border and they were retreated. That was what? 5 years ago?
See, I had forgotten about that till you reminded me, yeah. So what the hell does that mean? Do you understand? This is what gets us so crazy. But nothing's mentioned about it. You even had those idiot generals that I can't stand, those retired fools. It's that little guy with the glasses, can't stand him. He comes on NBC News, even he says it's a bad idea. Then you know it's a bad idea. I mean, this is the guy that would dance in the jerk over there if he could, all right? And even he says it's bad. The United States military is the most humane as far as dealing with civilians ever on the globe, ever to exist, end of discussion. It's just who we are as Americans. We do everything we can. Everything we can. But it's war. But we've gone so far over the other side that we're going to kill ourselves in the process. It's ridiculous. One piece of news from Israel is a really, you know, nice, good story. It's about a Salvadorian diplomat by the name of Jose Arturo Castellano. And he granted citizenship certificates to 40,000 Jews during World War II. And he's going to be recognized with what's called the Righteous Among the Nations, which is the highest civilian honor that Israel could give. And, of course, he's now deceased. But by doing so, by giving citizenship to tens of thousands of Jews, up to 40,000, he saved their lives. You know, these are the type of people that should be looked at and studied and mimicked. Not worshipped, but their lives and their actions. These are the type of people. Not politicians like Barack Obama.
Now, how come he wasn't never given a Nobel Peace Prize?
Oh,
now, just
well,
like when Gore got it, you know who he beat to get that prize?
No.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah, look, Mother Teresa. You know,
yeah.
was not a saint. She was. She had a mouth on her. But you fight in the streets of Calcutta and not have a mouth. That's all I'm saying. Here's a woman, her life dedicated to the true work of Christ. Well, that's why, Mel. It had to do with, you know, God. They couldn't allow that. Get in there, Kisa. The Righteous Among Nations recognizes non-Jews who helped Jews escape death in Nazi-controlled Europe. He will be the first Salvadoran to be recognized. He served as El Salvador's Consul General in Geneva, Switzerland, in the early 1940s. Wow. These are the type of people. His name was familiar, but Jose Castellanos might be a familiar name that I might read a lot, so I can't say for sure I knew of him. I don't think I did. And teach your kid about him. Pull him up. Go, did you know about this guy? Where are the people doing that now? No, we worship Michelle Obama in her garden. Or Barack Obama. Which, by the way, the reason he's doing all of this is so he can earn that Nobel Peace Prize. And hopefully he wants another one. Also, I'm seeing a trend. This is a trend that's going to replace global warming. So everybody put your 1970s and 80 hats on and listen to this. There's a new film that just opened at the Cannes Film Festival about nuclear war. Apparently, it's becoming the new global warming to stop the nukes. Now, for those of us that lived through that time when they would chain themselves, remember that, Mel? Oh,
yeah.
God. It's coming back. And apparently this is the new fad. They're going to start to phase away the green movement, and they're starting to bring back the might and to stop the nukes. They're not going to worry about the Muslims getting the nukes. or threatening to bomb and blow up Israel at every moment, or indeed you. No. They're going to come after you. I really do admire the socialists for one thing, that they don't even accept anything that goes wrong. They don't take responsibility. They just simply change their story and move on to another. And so quickly that most conservatives and big talkers are too busy talking about something that happened 6 months ago instead of really catching up to where they are. That's why they're always ahead of us if you guys want the truth. We're too busy worried about something that occurred so long ago that it doesn't matter anymore. It's like this Kagan stuff. Stop. Stop it. Don't even bother. We know who she is. Kyle today came and said, just so y'all know, there won't be a filibuster of her. Okay? What did that tell you? Well, we told you here a week ago. They're going to let her go through. Now, I heard it said me on a show. I'll tell you about that later. But stop being a defeatist. Stop being so pessimistic. I say to the people that say that to me and people that speak like Malachi and I, why are you people sticking your heads in the sand to the reality that's there? Why do you worship the big talkers and the goops? Why? Why are you so damn concerned about getting the House back and getting the Senate back when I can assure you, except for a few, it's just going to be the same thing? You're thinking too small. We're thinking big. You need to change the whole damn thing. I want to ask these people that are running now for Senate, what are you going to do about the Pentagon? Mm-hmm. Well, there are many presidents in the Senate, or so they think. What are you going to do about what's going on in the Pentagon? Seems to me we've been infiltrated. You know, we got a big election coming up Tuesday. And I know everybody's concentrated on that, and rightfully so. It's going to be a mini Super Tuesday, and of course, Mel and I will be right on it. But, I mean, you've got Spector and Sestak. That's in Pennsylvania. You've got Ron Paul and, what's his name, Trey, in Kentucky. Paul is so far ahead that that's going to be a wipeout. Good. Rand Paul, good guy. I like him. Toomey's getting riled up to either go against Spector or Sestak. But I mean, in the end, in the very end, let's say we get control. Uh-huh. That's what? What are they going to do? You know what's going to happen.
Same old shit.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen. They're going to be like, well, we're here. I can see it already. Some moron, one of our morons, that mostly side with us, gets the gavel from Pelosi, which, okay, if that happens, I'll admit. I'll probably give him a tear in my eye. Gets the gavel from the head witch, right? And then the first thing out of their mouth will be, we look forward to visiting with President Obama. Watch. It takes the governor of New Jersey to finally come out and say, oh, would you people grow up? You sent us here to argue. This isn't a social session. You know, there's more arguing and disagreement at a normal ladies' lunch than there is on Capitol Hill. Let's just be frank about it. They get up there, they want the power. Doesn't mean I've given up. It doesn't mean I'm a pessimist, but I'm a realist. Most people are so focused in on one thing. Remember November. Remember November. Please. I've been remembering the number since 1976. I know who worked for it, but I'm not working for the Republican Party. I can guarantee you that.
Hey, some more great news.
Yes.
Yes, the dollar gained against the euro. The euro is down to $1.22, And the pound's down to $1.42. 2 cents.
Wow.
Just in an hour.
What's the Nikkei at now?
The latest I've got is they're down 179 points. Hong Kong's down 484. Sydney's down 123. And India's down 271.
Okay, we got serious problems then. There's, I know they're worried about sovereign debt. I know that for a fact. And they came out, would have been there this morning early, and they said, we are not convinced. At all.
Yeah.
The signal,
oil.
Yeah.
Oil's now down under 74 a barrel.
What's gold trading at?
It's at a plus. It's at 1237. It gained $9. So it hasn't reached its high of last week. It was at 1245 last week. The highest.
Glad I am.
But oil, that's really surprising to me. But you know, like I told you yesterday or the day before, that my local news said that the price of gas hit its peak. I said, remember I said, yeah, I remember we both said the same thing. Yeah, we haven't made it to Memorial Day yet.
Well, you know, here it's $3.04 a gallon.
What was it? I think it was $2.85 here.
So, I mean, I bet you, no lie, that we will be close to probably $3.25, $3.30 a gallon by Memorial Day. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, now I got breaking news here, mail off of, or going off of what you just reported. The euro traded near its weakest level since the collapse of Lehman Brothers amid the European measure to reduce fiscal deficits will fail.
Yeah, since October 2008.
As I said in the beginning of the show, I knew it. Because of what Jean-Claude Trichet said, that's the European Central Bank president, what I reported at the beginning of the show, I knew that his comments would set that market down. I knew it. They believe this guy. And this guy came out and he said, I know I formulated the deal, but the deal sucks. So it's all going to fall apart anyway. Well, what do you think Asia's going to do? They're going to pull within. They're going to sell what they have to sell. And you watch almost a shadow or secondary economic structure form in this whole globe outside the Dow. Now, I know China has their own stock market, but look outside of that. I wonder, Mal, if we're going to see almost like an economic ally formation start to occur. Like in war? You're starting to see this here. They're just going to bypass the West altogether.
Well, the Hong Kong's down almost 500 points.
Mm. Sean Kalo, he's a strategist at Westpac Banking Corp in Sydney, said, short term, there is no reason to think the euro is going to stop declining. None at all. Growth is going to be extremely weak for a very long period of time. Positioning clearly isn't holding the euro back, even though we've got record short spec positioning. So he's saying, even though all the conditions are there to strengthen the euro, to at least keep it stable, somebody, or for some reason, Trichet, it's not working. Wow. I wonder how low you think it'll go today, Mel. Maybe 120. Maybe.
You never know.
It's on its way to parity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and now here we go. And this was our concern, has been since the beginning. You're from the ECB. You're seeing liberal magazines such as Der Spiegel and conservative papers alike saying the same thing. Did you all make this up? Did you create the conditions for the euro to fail? And if so, what the hell? Who are you? You're not going to come in here now and tell us we need to restructure the government of Germany. How the hell does that matter? Now, the IMF, the ECB, they're considering the structures of these governments, much like Geithner does, with the boards of companies, that they can now go in and restructure how your country is formed or how it's run. Oh, my God. Wow. It's like living in a quantum leap. It's like we're jumping all over the place, but you know what? It all ties in. It all makes sense. Oh, I can see the rioting and the protesting. Oh, how much fun that will be. What should we do here now? Lie to them? Y'all need to get your revolutionary boots ready. It's revolution time. Like I said, I don't blame the people of Greece. I don't blame the people of the UK. I certainly don't blame the people of Germany. They feel no different than you. You know, then you've got people in the Senate that want to pass a bill, Mike Pence. Oh, we want to pass a bill to stop funding the EU. A little too late there, Pencey. We already did. And you sure as hell can't stop the banks. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, you can. We're in so much trouble. And now, the people, what they're finding out with the stupid health care, as you all know, going to cost more. But now you've got the people that supported the bill upset. Well, it's a little too late now.
Yeah. Stupid bastard, you should have read the bill.
Oh, my gosh. And Holder, we all, you know, we want to talk about that briefly. He's another moron.
Yeah. All about that. They were kept asking him about that terrorist. New York bomber. You wouldn't tell him what was his reason for doing it. Well, the guy even said what the reason was, because he hated Bush.
He said we don't want to do that. We don't want to classify Islam.
Yeah.
Now, good on all good on the senators for at least pinning them down. I mean, that was at least helpful. There's another moron in this man's government, regime, kingdom, dictatorship over you, who probably doesn't read anything, who doesn't even know what he's doing. Remember, he was Janet Reno's right-hand man for, Waco. He does what he's told. Obama just sent Rahm Emanuel over to Israel to, quote, apologize for being unclear. What? You got the Israelis going, oh, just shut up. We're losing credibility. Nobody believes us anymore. At least with George Bush, they believe the man. He might not have said it all that great. He might have screwed up his words once in a while, but at least they knew. All right, we know he's going to do it. Now our own military, I can't even trust the commanders in our own military. I'm wondering who they work for now. I don't care. I said it. I believe it. With agendas such as this? Nah. Yeah, we're at a point where you have to just say it like it is. And people are either going to understand it and do their own homework on it, or they're just going to say, well, you know, you're a bunch of this, that, and the other. How much more can we say here right now? I mean, it's the same thing now, over and over. I will not follow the road of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. I just won't do it. I won't do it anymore. I gave that up years ago. And some of them, they say one thing one day, and then the next day, they said they never said what they said 5 minutes before. I'm getting sick of it. Rush Limbaugh did not run our, you know, what we believe. No big talker does. Nobody does. Nobody should. We don't need no damn leader. What do we need a leader for? For what? You got Sarah Palin out there calling everybody Mama Grizzly Bears or something. I don't know what the hell she's up to.
Yeah, she's playing both sides of the fence.
Oh, lovely. Well, there's another one.
I wouldn't trust her.
Politically, Sarah's done. And then more people. I've never heard such. I disagree with. Let me put it this way. Why do people care about what Laura Bush believes? Who cares?
Yeah, she ain't got no influence on today's government, so why worry about what she says?
I like her. I think she's a classy woman.
I didn't say nothing bad about her. Just why worry and bitch and moan and groan about what she said?
I couldn't agree more, Mel. I saw, honest to God, so many Twitters and articles and blogs. Oh, my God, Laura Bush supports this. Yeah, she always did. So what? If that changes your opinion about her, well, you know what? You never voted for her to begin with.
Right.
You voted for her husband, who disagrees with her positions. But, you know, take a lesson from Laura Bush, all you Michelle Obamas. She kept it mouth shut. And she came out of 8 years with class, dignity. She was a damn fine first lady. But for some people to get so upset, shut it. I got more important things. I'm worried about Michelle Obama and the damage this one's going to do than I am about Mrs. Bush. It's like Barbara Bush. She was the same way. I think she her and Barbara are politically the same. Very North on social issues. It's just who they are. I disagree with her. Now, if she runs for office, well, then we'll have an issue. But until then, you know, we have bigger fish to fry. Like the Muslims. Hello? What is war? You know, I've been asking myself that question all week. What is it?
I don't know anymore.
See? That's how
we need
I
to
feel.
Go all the way back to World War II to find that out.
Agreed. Yeah, we do.
Because now what? It's been almost 50 years since, no, over 50 years since we last won a war.
Yeah.
65 years.
I mean, everything else was, Yeah, everything else was decided, you know, negotiated, parallels, you know.
Yeah.
It all came in with that global balance nonsense.
Yeah.
Look, we're the only nation that is not, you know, we don't go to war and we don't take over countries and land.
Yeah.
We don't
equalize warfare. What kind of stupidity is that?
Oh, that's it now, yeah. Well, I mean,
Not parallel, huh? Not equalized either, but it's, you fight them with the same amount that they have, which is stupid. You go after him with everything you got and get it over and done with.
That could have been done. Done with
long
it.
Long time ago.
And now, well, we're a shell. Our military's a shell. Our Pentagon's a shell. Nah, they got to come home. They got to come home. And I'm at the point now where I'm not going to go so far saying we need to defund it because that brings up such a groundswell of pain in too many people. But I don't know what we're funding. Bullets, they don't use them. They don't use the bullets. So what are we funding over there? Bring them home. Please beg of you to bring them home. Israel has banned fishing in the Sea of Galilee this week. That was an interesting tidbit that I found, Mel. Yeah. Seems that Yahoo said, we're losing some species here. I guess there's been overfishing in the Sea of Galilee. But it was cute. Jewish fisherman comes out and he goes, I need to quote the New Testament. I'm a fisher of men. He got his Bible all mixed up, you know? And then he goes, caught me with this Christian thing. He was so cute. But he's saying, I am not a fish. I'm fishing. You are not going to tell me I can't fish on the Sea of Galilee. But apparently, no more fishing on the sea. There's strange things going on in this world. Well, then, of course, we have our friend Chavez. Bring that up real quick before he's up to no
good. About taking over everything?
Yes. Now, he's ordered money changers be raided because he doesn't want his currency crashing any more than it has. I believe it's called the Bolivar. I might be saying that wrong. Bolivar. His currency is crashing. So Friday, he had his troops or whomever he sends to go out and take over every currency exchange there was and the money changers. Closed websites listing any exchange rates.
Yeah, like you said last Sunday, 30% inflation rate.
Oh, yeah. Big troubles going on over there. Huge troubles. Now, he does that. And then this morning, today, or maybe yesterday it was, he ordered a group of iron, aluminum, and transportation companies closed and then therefore taken over by the state. Now, wow, he did. Closed them all. Iron, aluminum, and all transportation in Venezuela's mining industries in all of Venezuela are now taken over by Hugo Chavez. He's closing down not just certain things in certain areas and certain markets. He's closing down everything. Now, he wouldn't do this without the okay of China. He wouldn't. Or Russia. Or India. India is becoming quite the little economic devil over there. They're keeping their mouth shut. It has to do with Muslims. They're going to take that money under the table and look the other way when these bad things are happening. South America, Asia, Russia. Don't ever forget it. And they're surrounding us. I can't believe, I sit here and I'm trying to picture a map in my head, Mel. They're all around us, aren't they? All around us.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yes, and one more thing before we, South Korea has been firing on a North Korean ship, but don't worry about it. Just, go about your
warning
day.
Warning shot. Yes. Damn thing. They sink their ship, but they won't do nothing to them. I mean, geez.
Watch what happens tonight, Mel. 10-1, their ship, like you said, will end up getting sunk. Watch.
Well, they already had one get sunk.
Another one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they come out with the report that says that it was a torpedo that sank it, then nothing's done.
Yeah. Well, that was just like one of our ships were sunk during the escort. They were escorting supply ships over to England. Roosevelt didn't do nothing.
Nope.
Not until the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor.
He didn't want to rock the boat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Literally and figuratively. He did not want to rock the boat. Well, in your week to come, I guess it's going to be all about the elections. Keep an eye on Thailand. Continue to keep an eye on Europe. And I would keep an eye on Afghanistan. I see bad things, very bad things. But the economy and the elections, those are probably going to be the highlights of the week, don't you think, Mel? Till we see them again on Wednesday? I think so.
What's that?
The elections on Tuesday, the primary elections, and then, of course, the economy over in Europe.
Oh, who's having primaries?
the mini Super Tuesday, which will be this Tuesday, for senators in Pennsylvania, Kentucky. That's on Tuesday. Rand Paul and Lantre, and then the second, Spector, going to be the big talk of the week. So.
Just Pennsylvania and Kentucky?
Yeah, there's a couple other states. I just, to be honest, it can't escape me right now, but it's like a little mini Super Tuesday, so we'll talk about it Wednesday when we see him again.
Yeah, so join us Wednesday night, everyone, at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But we try once again to make sense out of all this crap. And remember, everyone, before you take off and have a great week at whatever it is you're going to do this week, have your pet Muzzy spayed or neutered. Good night, everyone.